This Kalika Baruti. I'm gonna try to open.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer.
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over.
Mr. Jackson,
sorry about your brother.
Hello?
They will live to regret it.
Hello?
Yeah. You on, Conrad. Hold on. You on.
Back on.
Yeah.
I got some static on this side, man.
Sorry,
I can really hear you.
This is the military, David.
Hello?
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 Yeah, I hear y'all coming, right? I hear y'all, brother.
All right, cool.
Hello?
Cool.
Yeah, we back. Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah, we all back on.
Ooh,
I don't know what happened, man. I don't know what happened.
Explain what
happened again.
Hold on.
Dad?
I'm going to explain what happened. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Rafiki, are you there? Rafiki. Okay. Juwanza, are you there? Hello? Juwanza? Bomani, are you there?
Yeah, I'm present. Me, Jonaku. And I think it's Jonaku and Gaddafi on.
I'm here.
Okay, Gaddafi, okay. I do want to apologize to y'all. I had got a message from a listener saying that the show had stopped playing live when we were 15 minutes in. What happens if you schedule your show for Blog Talk Radio in slots? Jawanza's back on. I'm open your line up, Jawanza. Jawanza, your line is open too. But
okay.
Jawanza, they let me know that the show, people were trying to call in and listen. However, the show wasn't scheduled for our 2 hour slot. It was only scheduled for 15 minutes. So everybody that was on the call already can still hear and listen, but nobody could call in. So what I had to do is I had to set up the show for the second hour, which means we have 53 minutes left. In my running around today trying to schedule the show, that little slot that where you put your duration of time, I failed to put the duration of time. So I do want to apologize for the inconvenience. Just got a little – missed that little part and – we're back on now. So if anybody is listening, I know Bomani, if you can text Akili and let him know the circumstances that we're back on for the second half, and other people that y'all know that were trying to call in and listen, let them know that we're on for the next hour and beyond if we need it. But again, my apologies. And Kadaki, I apologize to you because you were really going in and it fell off. So I don't know if you can remember where you stopped, but by
yeah,
all means,
of
please.
Of course, continue. I can. I can't forget where I left off, guys. You know me, but I guess that where we was really at is pretty much. Just touching on, what the elder comrade was far as, the collection, the concentration of resources, and what Bomani touched on as far as economics, and also, you know, the situation, you know, that you just experienced. Like, I mean, how I began everything was basically talking about these interconnections, how everything is interrelated and how we can't deal with one thing until we deal with everything, point blank, period. And it got to be dealt with on a necessary basis. I mean, my opinion don't matter. Yours don't matter. Nobody else's opinion matters. The only thing that matters is that we deal with the facts. That's it. That's the only thing that's going to get us to where we're trying to get to. It's the only way that we can truly, genuinely, and honestly deal with our situation if we're going to call ourselves freedom fighters, the revolutionaries, the soldiers, or even just men and just women, you know, that are just trying to live a better life, you know. So, you know, touching on, like, economics, for example, all of the production power that we can organize as a group of people, as an organization or as a political party or as a functioning state or government, all the production power that we have, all of the intelligence and the skill for commerce that we have, for trade, all of the power that we have, the innovativeness and whatnot, the inventiveness for industry, all of the brilliant brains that we have for banking. Why don't we have our own currency? Why don't we print our own money? Why are we giving jobs to our people that are claiming that they're New Africans or that they're black or that they're poor and oppressed for? Why aren't we opening businesses? Why aren't we cooperating and working together? Why don't we have our own bank? Why? Because the IMF says that we can't? Because the World Bank said that we can't? Because the IRS tax code, when that was created by FDR for this exact reason, says that we can't? I mean, we got to honestly ask ourselves these questions because we're all suffering right now. That's the fact of the matter. I'm poor. I don't got no money. I don't got no job. I went to real estate school. I cannot get my real estate license. I don't got a driver's license.
Hello?
I try to go to college. I can't pay the bill.
Hey,
I don't got no health insurance.
Who that, Jonica?
Hello?
Yeah, who are that, Jonica?
We can hear you.
I'm here.
Yeah, we could not.
And I'm sure that everybody is in a similar boat. You know, I'm out on bail right now. I got open cases. I just got state probation and federal probation over with. I've been dealing with probation for the last 15 years of my life nonstop. I ain't had 1 second to breathe. These people have been taking me in and out, controlling my entire life, trying to at least. Unsuccessfully, I might add. But I mean, I'm sure that we all suffer from the same or very similar situations. And the fact that we share so many common difficulties, so many common sense, that we deal with them in a common way. And realistically, like, after this conversation, it's not good enough for everybody to go back and say, yeah, good show, man. Y'all talked about some good shit. And then nobody really do nothing to actively try to put these things in motion. So, I mean, what I'll do is this. I mean, everybody, you know, who want to write down my number, I'll give everybody my number right now, you know, or my email, whatever y'all want, you know. And I got some ideas. I got some documents and whatnot that I can send everybody, and we can actually have a conversation just how they do, you know, just how they do at the White House. Just how they do at the Kremlin, and just how they do at every other presidential palace, you know. And we can actually sit down, you know, like true soldiers, and really, you know, put this paperwork in front of us. And you know, I don't know everything. I'm not perfect. You know, a whole bunch of stuff that I put on there is probably wrong. You know, everybody probably knows a whole lot more than I do, and can probably improve on, you know, what I put down times 1,000. You know, but the bottom line is that it's somewhere to start. You know, so these two documents are in reference to the political party and in reference to the state. And actually, you know, the formation of both and the structure of both. And I'm going to say it now, it's extremely detailed, and, you know, it pretty much touches on every single aspect of life. I mean, just to be, I'll just be real quick with it. I mean, and in regards to the political party, I mean, I formed the Supreme Council of Elders and Experts, standing committee, you know, Politburo, state councils, chiefs of states, vice presidents, prime ministers, council of ministers. I believe that there's 26 ministries that I formed. I mean, intelligence agencies to militaries to economies, like I said, to banking and trade to labor. I mean, anything that you could possibly imagine. I mean, whether it's health, whether it's education, whether it's justice, whether it's information. I mean, we're talking about social media. We're talking about newspapers. We're talking about newsletters. We're talking about books. We're talking about art. We're talking about science. I mean, we're talking about foreign ministries. I mean, we're talking agriculture, culture. I mean, thing and everything that you see with any other government that has ever existed on this planet that has ever been stable and flourished. You know, I mean, I've done what I could to try to analyze, you know, what's going on now with other peoples, with other societies, communities, nations, states, political parties, so on and so forth, and take what I could that I felt was relevant to our particular situation and that to our particular time right now. And that us that's all in this game together got to be able to come together and deal with these issues as they need to be dealt with. So, you know, my email is lmangodi@gmail.com. You know, if anybody want to take that. My number, 774-330-6055. If anybody want to text me right now and send me their number, we can link, we can build, and we can do this collectively. Like I said, you know, I'll sharpen the document up, send it to everybody through their email, and, you know, by the next time, by next week, if we're going to do this next week, you know, like I said, I expect for this to be done just how they do it with governments, just how they do it with corporations, you know, how they had these weekly meetings and whatnot, and they got these documents as far as, you know, the old business that they did and the new business that they plan to do. And they just conducting their business in an organized and effective way, you know. So, you know, I'm hoping this is somewhere that we can all start from. And like I said, anybody take away, add on, whatever they want. And here's the one thing, too. We don't stop until we agree. We don't stop until we come to a consensus. If we got an issue, if we got a matter of grave concern that needs to be dealt with, there's no such thing as, you know, we'll put it off to some other time, so on and so forth. We're going to have to sit there for hours if need be and everybody discuss and, you know, put forth what they can contribute so that way we can all come to a consensus as far as this is the action that needs to be taken and, you know, whoever needs to get whatever responsibilities or assignments or whatnot for that week, since we have weekly meetings for that month, we'll have monthly meetings even for the year when we have our annual meetings, so on and so forth. And that way, you know, we can conduct our business in an organized and effective fashion. That way, everybody is being held accountable and everything is on the up and up. So, for example, if we have this weekly meeting, you know, we all agree that I have a certain responsibility to carry out and that by next week I'm to report back on the status of that assignment that I've been given and it's expected of me to have a certain something done by that time, that needs to happen. And if not, then I should be dealt with accordingly. Whether that means that I don't need to be in that position, that capacity, or whatever it needs to be. And the same goes for everybody else. Now, if anybody can tell me that there's anything wrong with this, or that if I'm wrong in any way, or if anybody disagrees, I would appreciate it. You know, everybody spoke up now, so that way by the time we end this phone call, like I said, we can move forward on a concrete basis to where I'm getting everybody that's on this phone call right now is texting me with their number or with their email, whatever anybody wants to do, and I can actually get this document to them. And like I said, we can discuss it throughout the week going on, and then once we have this official meeting, you know, back on GJU Radio by next week,
Marcel, Conrad Gaddafi. Do you have a document in front of you? Can you, know, saying go with some of the points that you consider to be valid right now in the conversation that you present us right now, you know, for discussion, for open discussion?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But and let me say something too before you do that. Oh boy. Let me just tell you that this document, you know, you got to consider this information very critical to our movement, right? Because I'm with you. You know, I'm with you 100. You know, but don't be sharing the information all willy nilly to anybody that wants it now. You know.
Oh hell no.
Be mindful of somebody text you, send you a text message, say they want something. I know you smarter, you know, to figure out who's who and what's what before we just share our plans of actions with any and everybody. But
yeah, absolutely 100%. Yeah, you absolutely 100% correct with that, like, and I've definitely followed that to the absolute T. You know, this is something that's been private to my heart, to be honest with you, for the entire time, you know, that I was in prison, and something that, to be 100% honest, that I've really been waiting for this moment strictly to share with specific comrades, you know. So, like I said, you know, that's been followed to the absolute T.
Hey, Brother Gaddafi, may I pose a question to you before you go into that? You mind if I pose a question to you?
Yes, sir. Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead, Jonathan. We hear you.
I'm here, comrade.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to you speak. You know, you're very well spoken. You seem really motivated. Now, I know you mentioned that you were behind the wall at some point. And in my experience, I've met a lot of guys, you know, who've been behind the wall, and they come to the knowledge from the inside. But once they get back out, they fall back into their old ways because, you know, society is set up to make it like that. So I just kind of wanted to know what kept you from falling back into your old ways and what keeps you so motivated. Because, like I said, I've been listening to you talk, and you're real sincere about everything you say. You know, it's real. So how do you, what was some of your motivating factors that keeps you on the path?
One of my comrades, from behind the wall, you know, he told me something, actually, you know, probably about an hour, you know, before he died, you know, he was damn near disemboweled, you know, behind the wall in his cell. And he told me this a little while, you know, before this happened to him. The main thing was he told me that, you know, when you go home, you got to be very aware of the people you're around, the places you're at, and the things you're doing. And, I mean, just thinking about that, I mean, him, he had a life sentence, you know, and he basically told me that, you know, he did 5 years, right, and, you know, he was in a joint, and somebody had told him that look, you know, you got 5 years, you know, like you just did 5 years. When you get home, you better make sure that you watch the people around you. You watch the things that you're doing, watch the places that you're at, because that's going to be your downfall. Basically, like, if you pay attention to those things right there and you do your best to try to be around the right people, to try to be in the right places and just try to do the right thing, you know, I mean, you're going to have problems, you're going to have difficulties. But if you just try, like, you put forth an actual effort, you know, try to do things right there, you'll be in the best possible situations. Everything might not be all good, but you'll be in the best possible situation. So a lot of times when I think of me going around certain people, it might even be somebody that I got love for and that they never did nothing wrong to me, I never did nothing wrong to them, but I realize that, you know, that's a person that I can't be around how I used to be around them anymore, because that might put me in a situation that I don't want to be in. There's certain places that I grew up in, that I know everybody in, that I know every place at, that I love, you know, but I can't go there the way that I used to go here before, because I know what's going to happen if I do that. You know, there's certain things that I did before, you know, that I still want to do now, you know, or even that, the same reasons of why I did certain things still exist. They may even exist even more than they existed before, but I know what's going to be the outcome if I do it. I know what's going to be the outcome if I do it. So, I mean, by no means.
Well, I was like, well, Beverly, we're trying to tell. She's looking at Beverly all praying. I'll be just saying to myself, like, it's a goddamn shame, man. What age is she going to be when she starts being like, yeah, mom, you're right. I'm going to be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that you actually asked that question, you know, Conrad, because a lot of times, sometimes, you know, that's a real good question to ask each other on a daily basis. You know, like, basically, like, what's keeping you grounded? Like, what's making you stay the course? And just, you know, have a brother or a sister just, you know, be able to take a few seconds or a few minutes or whatnot and really contemplate, you know, what are they doing to get done the things that need to be done?
Man.
That's a beautiful question that you just asked right now. I mean, that's a wise question. That probably only an elder that know what's going on would ask.
Well, I just want to say I really appreciate you. Oh, no problem, because I really appreciate you, because it sounds like you've been through a lot in your life, and I've known people who haven't been through a lot and don't have half the wisdom that you have, don't put forth half the effort that you're doing. So you coming through what you did and doing the kind of work you're doing is definitely something that need to be applauded. I mean, and it, like I said, just listen to your voice, I can tell it's real. It ain't just talk. You're talking the talk, but walking the walk, too.
I love you for that, Conrad. You know, that's another thing I don't think that we probably don't do enough is, you know, we don't lift each other up enough. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't congratulate, you know, a comrade, you know, when something positive happened and whatnot, and, you know, actually just give that positive reinforcement, you know, that we all need. You know, we all human, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and it feels good to have somebody that's close to you or somebody that loves you to just say good job or, hey, look, man, I see you. I see what you're doing or even what you're trying to do, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, keep doing it. You know, keep going. As a matter of fact, here's some game on maybe how to sharpen that up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Or, hey, man, you know, you need me for anything, man. You know, holler at me and, you know, I'll see if I can help you out or something. You know, even that is just a motivating force just within itself. You know, I mean, like, I love to have it to where, you know, we all hear from each other every day and not even, like, just right now, you know, just to check up on each other. You know what I'm saying? How you doing? How's your family doing? How's the kids? Anything? All right, cool. You know? And once again, how you spoke earlier about these resources, almost like that's probably what needs to happen anyway. You know, it's like if we're going to actually start discussing things that are so important, I mean, the things that we got to discuss are literally endless. I mean, if we stayed on the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 a year, we still couldn't even handle it all. The majority of the work, we're going to have to hand over to our children probably because there's just so much to do. Even if we spend every second of our lives doing it, there's so much to do. That's why, like, when we plan, or, like, for example, when I plan, you know, as far as the whole political party and this whole United African State and whatnot, I mean, I've planned it in 5, 10, 25, and 100 years intervals.
No doubt.
You know, I mean, like, that's the way, like, that I designed it. That's the way that I planned it, you know.
Parts up again, Conrad Kadhafi. We actually had a brother on the line who behind the wall right now. He want to ask you a question. Conrad Jawanza, he want to ask you a question. He's behind the wall himself, and he's one of the the main ones who make a lot of curriculum for Georgia University. And Mark Garvey Study Group, he wanted to ask you a question. All right, Jawanza.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Revolutionary greetings, my brother, Comrade Kadhafi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, brother. How you doing?
Hey, brother, I'm holding tight here. You know, I'm hearing that fire you spitting on the other end there, you know, as you're trying to, sounds like you're trying to get a little motivation, you know, going amongst everybody else. And that's a good deal right there. I understand exactly where you at. Did I understand you correctly? You say you was out on the bail?
Yes, sir.
All right, my brother. All right, then. Well, I hope you're doing all you can to fight whatever it may be that you up against at this particular moment, right? I do want to ask you this question right here, right? That's kind of on me right now, right? You know, I was hearing you speak about this document, and I know you had involvement with the GJU from day one, particularly dealing with the radio program. Yeah. Is this particular document, is it related to the institutional building of the GJU, or is this just something that, you know what I'm saying, that you kind of that you're kind of sitting there and you're planning and it's something you want to see take off kind of on your own footing. Because I noticed you was kind of like, you know, with relates to a lot of organizations, they wasn't just really working the way that you thought they needed to be working, you know, to kind of, I guess you could say, satisfy the people's thirst for some resolution on the issues we're facing out there.
That's a wonderful question right there, comrade. And to answer it, what I would say is that it's a combination of the both to where I'm GJU and that's not going to change. And I support GJU with everything that I have. And I would look at it this way, that GJU will remain independent the same way, like I said, as far as us observing what other political parties and what other states have done in order to achieve the objectives that they set out to do. It was always, no matter what these groups of people were called, whether they were called an organization or a party or a clan or a tribe, it was a group of people. I'll make an example. In Saudi Arabia, Abdulaziz Ibn Saud, he had to unify all of these different Saudi tribes, Arabian tribes, into create the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. A lot of these tribes still to this day maintain their independence or maintain their autonomy to some degree, but at the same time, they are Saudi Arabians and they're unified under that banner. But they still maintain their own independence, and not just their own independence, but their own identity, and they still carry on their work by themselves as well. So I would think that if when we analyze a principle like that, a tactic like that, a strategy like that, as far as nation building, then that would be what's necessary. I mean, we don't want to destroy any organization that's a strong pillar in, you know, in this whole thing that we're trying to put together. You know, we want to be able to put it together with other strong pillars, and that way we got something that's looking like, what's that called? I can't remember what it's called right now, but, you know, the Pantheon. Excuse me, the Pantheon, you know, where it's these groups of pillars, you know, that have been standing there for about 2,000, 3,000 years, and these pillars are still standing, you know, that made up this whole building, not any individual pillar, you know, by itself, but all of them together, you know, and that's what I'd love to see happen, you know, is for any formation claiming that this is what they're about, that these are their principles, that this is what they want to see happen, that they would be able to come together with that guiding principle and under that banner, that we all trying to get to the same place. Basically, you know, let's put all our resources together and let's determine the best way to get there.
So if I may ask, so in other words, you're not really, and I'm just asking for clarification here, so you wasn't really saying that the present institutions, black institutions that we have, particularly African institutions, wasn't on zero ground, that nothing wasn't moving. You're just saying that at this point here, you feel like there needs to be, from your mind, you know, you feel like you have some ideas to add on to what's already on the ground moving and shaking. That's basically what you were saying earlier.
What I would say in regards to that is I wouldn't even say from my mind or from my thoughts, because I would say from anybody's mind that has a mind. If we just simply have eyes and we can look at what's happening, I mean, I don't know your personal specific situation, you know, but, I mean, trust me, y'all know what it's like behind the wall. I mean, you know, I done been there a few times and for a few years. You know, there's a lot of things that we need, and it's the smallest things that'll be the biggest thing to us there. You know, it can be a picture. It can be a $20 phone call. It can be $20 in your canteen. It might be a visit. You know, it might be that you hear somebody ask about you. You know, I mean, it can be the smallest thing that could have the biggest impact. You know, I mean, when one of us get good news, you know, about our case or something like that, it might affect the whole unit. You know, I mean, we got certain bonds that we develop, you know, behind the wall that surpass even family relations out on the street. You know, you spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for months, for years with the same people. You see them at their best. You see them at their worst. You know everything about them, their whole family, you know, so on and so forth. So,
with you.
You know, like, for example, you know, that, you know, what we got there behind the wall, that's a source of strength right there. You know, that's like a beating heart of a lion right there that can be used. you know, that can be used. Not only that can be used, but it needs to be used because comrades that's behind the wall needs everything that's going on out here. There got to be that connection. That was one of my big things right there. You know, like I said, you know, I love all my comrades from GJU, but we got to be honest with one another if we truly love one another, you know. And I'm sure that, like I said, everybody got 100% love for me and everybody wanted to see me home. But for whatever reason, whatever needed to be done, it wasn't done. You got to be able to analyze that for brothers like yourself that's still there. You know, I want to be able to make sure, you know, with everything that I got in my own power, that everything that you need and all the rest of the comrades that's behind the wall, that we can provide it, because that's our responsibility. You know, you're the father of our children. You know, you're the brothers of our sisters. You know, you're the elder, so on and so forth. I mean, we're all each other. I mean, we all ain't nothing without each other. At the end of the day, I think that we, you know, that we all know that. So it's like we all need each other, you know, and we all got to unify behind that. And this can't be just lip service either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I want to make that real clear. You know, I mean, once again, I just came from behind, you know, from behind that hellhole. You know, the things that we see on a daily basis, we don't even have conversations about with everyday people because they just wouldn't understand. You can only talk like that with somebody that just came from that hell place to even have them be able to fathom what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to happen. You know, I mean, and just keep talking about it. You know, so if any other formation out there wants to say they're doing this, wants to say that, you know, that they're doing that, okay, fine. But, you know, like, for example, right now I'm talking to Conrad Juwanda, you know, I want to know, what are you doing for him? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you doing for the brothers right here? And if you ain't doing nothing, then how can we get it so that way you can do something for them? Even if you're already doing something from the other comrades somewhere else. You know, we all got to be able to work together throughout this entire nation. You know, right now we got people on the phone that's from different countries, that's from, you know, different states and different cities all across this entire nation. You know, in this, you know, in this age that we live in. There's no reason at all of why, you know, brother, you can't send me a letter and say, hey, look, man, these are all the things that we need from behind the wall right here. You know? And here's an idea of when we need them by. And I'm not even talking about just regular things either. I'm talking about when you got a court date, somebody need to be there. And I ain't talking about somebody just being there just for you to look at. I'm talking about somebody being there that's actually supporting you. Let's go to some of these colleges the same way that, you know, excuse my language, but I mean it when I say it. I ain't talking about white people. When these crackers come in there and they got them college people that's in there that's, you know, that's behind that bench with that DA, and, you know, and I studying that judge, and that's learning the ways of how they're hanging niggas every day there. You know, we need to have our people up in there, too, studying the ways of how they're doing what they're doing and how to stop them from doing what they're doing. Because they're studying every single day about how to make their system work more efficiently for getting us behind there, for keeping us behind there. And they're doing a very good job at it. And what are we doing about it? Every time I've been inside of that courtroom, I ain't never seen ABC or NBC or CNN or anybody else, any newspaper, anything like that for me or for any of my other comrades that was going to court every day. Why don't we got our own newspaper and why don't we got our own person? Why don't we got our own representative from that newspaper that's there in that courtroom reporting on the events that's going on? Why don't we have our own psychologist that's in there? Why don't we have our own lawyers that's in there?
I am anxious right now to hear, brother, and I'm gonna fall back, but I'm anxious to hear some of the solutions that you have. I mean, I have a few on my own cap myself, you know, because you know we back in, we do get the opportunity to think and think of ways that we feel we can add or build onto the movement. So I'm anxious to hear some of the ideas you may have, you know, as it relates to addressing some of these issues that you're talking about now, and I'm going to leave it at that. Salute, comrade.
Hey, brother, love you, man, and hold your head behind that wall. Hello?
Hey, comrade, this is Rafiki.
Hey, Rafiki, what's happening, man?
Oh, I'm good, man. I just wanted to throw in a question as well to you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, now, we know in nature, you know, there's contradictions in nature. You know, some things are dying away and some things grow. Do you think that we, whatever, activists, revolutionaries, whatever, et cetera, are applying the process of dialectical materialism correctly as far as the development of the struggle. Two brief examples. Of course, you know, like 50s, times like that, they had voters, you know, they had like voting drives and stuff like that. Now, we see that some people, the mass public, are stuck on that. They haven't evolved from that. Thankfully, revolutionaries, we don't have that issue. Well, we shouldn't be having that issue. Secondly, if we looked at the Black Panther Party, they had survival programs, you know what I mean, feeding kids, the clinics and what have you. Now, today, a lot of us are trying to put together programs, but the state has also saw what the Panthers did, crucified the Panthers, you know, cut their stuff off, but actually implemented their own programs, you know what I mean? So their programs wouldn't be as viable. So do you think today's times that we're looking back and saying, okay, you know what I mean, we need to catch up, we need to do things this way, or do you think the state's just, you know what I mean, moving a lot quicker than us? And it also goes back to what you were saying about resources.
That's beautiful. I mean, how you just put all that together right there, Rafiki, man, because it's almost like those few words that you just said encompass everything that's happening with the entire movement, with all the people and every aspect. I'll start from the beginning where you started from in regards to dialectical materialism. Something that's a part of this document that I formed is called the Seven Virtues and Vices, and the first of that is dialectical materialism. It actually explains what dialectics is, explains what materialism is, and the combination of the two. And when we get to these contradictions, you know, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, you know, growth and decadence and whatnot, the way that you just explained it, you know, we understand that nature, no matter what form that it manifests in, is constituted by both of these phenomena simultaneously. This is just a fact of nature. You know, we know that we're constantly living and dying. I mean, we're constantly growing and decaying. Both of those can be fueled. We can fuel the process of decadence, and we can fuel the process of growth and development. And when we put that in a sociological context, now we can begin the discussion on things that you spoke upon, like survival programs and the resistance that we get from the state in regards to our survival programs and the form that it comes in. I use a specific example of what you just generally spoke about. The Black Panther Party had their survival programs, Pen and Revolution. One of them was the Breakfast for Children program. Now, there wasn't any public school in this entire nation that served breakfast to children prior to the Black Panther Party. Black Panther Party started that, you know. It started out with just regular, you know, food that regular people, black people, was cooking in a kitchen. I'm sure that as time evolved, if we would have fueled, you know, that aspect of that survival program, you know, it probably would have merged somewhat into health and agriculture to where it would have said, okay, now we're feeding the kids. Now what are we feeding the kids? You know, let's make sure that it's healthy. It would evolve into how are we feeding the kids? You know, where is this from? You know, are we producing on our own farms? You know, are we importing this food ourselves? You know, are we producing this food ourselves? So on and so forth. And it would have grown because we would have fueled that growth. It's obvious that the other side of that contradiction, which is the state, which is beautiful that you brought that up, the state has fueled, for us at least, the decadence of that survival program. We see it got killed as far as us. What they're doing is whatever they're doing on their side. But as far as us and that survival program, it died for us. There's no more Black Panther Party Breakfast for Children program. It does not exist anymore, and it didn't grow anymore. You know, it decayed, it died. So, you know, I think that first and foremost, you know, I mean, we can take it to the art of war, even, you know, with Sun Tzu, even when we talk about contradictions, to where Sun Tzu basically says that, you know, to know yourself is to win half the battle, to know yourself and your enemy is to win the whole battle, you know, or victory is complete, basically. So when we analyze what we did to allow
this state to be able to kill our program. Now we can start to deal with that situation a little more effectively. When we look at the state and the tactics that they actually use to be able, you know, to kill what we wanted to grow, then that's when we can start to wield some kind of influence on having some kind of control over what they can and what they can't do. You know, a smart person one time told me that, you know, can't nobody do nothing to you that you don't allow them to do to you. You know, I mean, if somebody say they're going to beat you up, I mean, you're going to have to show and prove, man. You're going to have to come on and you're going to have to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to lie to do it one way or another.
Right.
So, you know, once again, I think that if we come with the attitude of we take control of the fact that determine the quality of our lives, and we talk from a sociological perspective, we're talking about social institutions here. And just to keep it on track, you know, let's say that we talk about the Breakfast for Children program. I mean, that's good for, you know, the embryonic stage and whatnot, getting something started, a small nucleus and whatnot. But like we just said, I mean, we basically allowed this state to kill what we did, hijack it, and, you know, make it into whatever they wanted to make it into. We allowed that to happen. You know, we have to analyze in every way. In every way, we can get all the way back to Africa and our culture and all that too. We allowed them to take our names. We allowed them to take our religion. We allowed them to take our whole way of life. We allowed that to happen. I mean, in so many different ways, when we analyze it concretely, I mean, all right, fine, there was some, you know, European that came from Portugal. We came into West Africa, whatever. He told people that was there, yo, check this out, man, I got this church. We're going to give y'all some food, you know what I'm saying? We're going to teach you, yo, we got these clothes over there for y'all. We got some gold, you know, whatever, whatever that they told them. And they chose to go. They allowed them, you know, to do what they did to them. You know, and this isn't saying one's good, one's bad, one's right, one's wrong, any of that. Like, we're not saying these things to have an ideological discussion about it. You know, we're saying it so that way we can analyze the concrete facts of what happened, so that way we can understand what we need to do and what we don't need to do.
Let me say something. Can I say something on that, Gaddafi?
Yes, 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 ma'am.
You know, like, and we have 14 minutes left in the show, but I'm getting a lot of text messages and different things like that, and people are really interested in what's being said here. And if we need to go into overtime, we can go into overtime. It's just that at the 10 o'clock mark, no one else will be able to call in. But everybody that is logged in and have called in and listening online, they can still listen after 10. But, you know, we talk about dialectics. And sometimes we really need to have these discussions in a deeper sense. Now, when we say dialectics and what you just said, we allow them to do this, and we need to make a concrete analysis of what has taken place and so forth. But making that statement is an absolute statement that we allow. And I disagree when you apply dialectics, because with dialectics and studying history, we know that there were some people, a lot of people, who actually resisted. So we must be absolute in making historical analysis. Everyone did not allow the African man and woman to be subdued. A lot of people fought, you know, for this not to happen. It was some processes where we were not the victors, and yeah, we may have been defeated, but there were others where we were the victors and we weren't defeated. So I just wanted to point that out when making that analysis.
I appreciate that. So, you know what? Let me clarify a little bit further then. I'm not including the freedom fighters and the revolutionaries and the soldiers that resisted. They would be a part of the process of growth because of the reason that you just stated, because they did exactly what they did. They did not allow whatever those forces were to do whatever those forces did. So they were a part of the growth still. You know, put it like this, the reason why we can sit here and have this conversation today, because of some of the comrades like that you just mentioned, you know, we're basically the growth and the evolution of that right there. So that side of the contradiction, they would fall on the growth side when it comes time, you know, for dialectics in regards to historical analysis. You know, they wouldn't be a part of that decadence because of that exact reason that you just stated. You know, they did resist, and they did pretty much breathe enough life into the struggle in order for us to still be alive today and for us to be doing what we're doing right now. You know, if they didn't do that, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. You know, so, yeah, so I just definitely want to clarify that.
Absolutely.
All right, yeah, and what else was it, Rafiki? I know that that we definitely want to touch on, you know, dialectics and the contradictions and, you know, in regards to, you know, what the Black Panther Party was doing and whatnot. What was the rest of what you said, brother?
No, you pretty much spoke on it. I just was making sure that some of what's going on today with our people out there, revolutionaries, activists, whatever they may call themselves, because some of them may be trying to adopt the same program 50 years ago, and 50 years ago it was good, but now, you know what I mean, it won't work, you know what I'm saying? So some people get stuck into that, you know, so that was just getting your observation if people are actually, you know, seeing that that didn't work and then changing over, you know what I mean, doing something different, you know what I mean, and serving the needs of the people now, you know what I'm saying? We have a whole lot more things going on, mass incarceration is booming. You know what I mean? We have a whole lot of other ills in our society to deal with. But as we do have those other ills in society, there's also stuff growing with that, too. There's the prison movement that's still growing. Even though, you know, the Panther Party was crushed, we still got that movement in the prison. You know what I mean? Stuff that couldn't have been done 40 years ago can be done today. So,
that's all I was saying there. No, I would look at it like this, right? I would look at the whole movement like this, right? You know how sometimes in, like, the martial arts movie, you'll get a dude that's real ill, right? And he get a whole gang of people that beat him down, that tear him up, that leave him for dead, right? He bleeding his bones, you know, all of his bones is broke up, his flesh is all ripped up, you know, he damn near about to die, right? However he end up making it, somebody, you know, come and get him or whatever ends up happening happens, and he end up making it someplace to where he can heal up, right? And he can get right. He can basically get himself back together, you know, and get ready to get back into the fight and handle the business, you know, that he needs to handle in order for him to stay alive, in order for him to thrive, him and his people. You know, I look at us kind of like that, to where, you know, we done produced some of the baddest warriors, some of the most brilliant people to ever walk the face of the earth. And a lot of us today, you know, have those same genes. We have that same exact genetic code. We're direct descendants of these people. Some of us are doing the same things that they was doing back then, as far as on a scale of greatness, or even better. So what I'm saying is basically, in this process of healing, in this process of consolidation, in this process of amalgamation, we have to bring all of those different aspects, you know, of the people and of the struggle all together. Like you just said, whether it's with the prison movement, whether it's with a sister that's a teacher, whether it's with a brother that's a soldier, I mean, every single aspect that makes up a society, that makes up a community, everybody that's a part of the movement, everybody that's claiming that they're a revolutionary, that they're a freedom fighter, that they're activists, that they're this, that they're that, everybody that's holding signs, everybody that's posting stuff on Facebook, so on and so forth, wherever they at, we should be those that consider themselves that are respected by the people as the vanguard should have something. To be producing something to where something is in place, and when we get into this document, you know, we'll be able to see that as far as the global structure, you know, that I put as far as regional structures and whatnot, and how there's an apparatus, there's a functional apparatus at each level, whether we're talking about global, whether we're talking about continental, whether we're talking about regions of these continents, whether we're talking about an actual state or country, whether we're talking about an actual region of these states or countries, whether we're talking about actual cities, whether we're talking about districts or wards, whatever you want to call it, villages of these cities, all the way down to a household, down to an individual. There's a functional apparatus that is one solid organization with many different parts that are all working all together, kind of like the body. You know, the human body, I got, I think, 11 different systems. You know, every one of them do their own thing, and they all work, you know, to make the whole body run, basically. You know, so with thinking on that level and with applying those principles like that, like I said, sociologically, you know, and just with the movement in general, I think that a lot of people, you know, that are with the movement right now and that, you know, are contributing the best that they can, we would kind of open up doors for them to be able to do more, you know, and for people to realize their fullest potential even more than they already are right now, you know. But somebody got to take the responsibility in making sure that these things are done. You know, I mean, I was speaking to one of the comrades earlier, you know, and we were talking about basically, you know, how there has to be some branch, has to be some arm, has to be some circle, some group that is going to take the responsibility as far as building and re-solidifying the foundation, the nucleus, the embryo of this whole thing here, that is going to be the life source of it, that is going to be the fountain of youth for this whole thing that we got going here. You know, there has to be that element. There has to be that apparatus. It has to exist. I mean, you know, if the heart ain't in the body, it's going to be hard for the whole body to do its job. If the brain ain't in the head, I mean, the body probably ain't going to function too well. You know, so it's like these are things that are so imperative that we need so much, and that the thing is, it's within our power. We have it already. We just got to use it. I mean, there's nothing that's really stopping us from, you know, having these conversations on a daily basis and, you know, organizing these meetings. And like I said, you know, everybody having, you know, their separate assignments and whatnot, and, you know, everybody discussing everything that needs to happen and agreeing on a course of action to take and then implement that actual process and then analyzing and see what worked and then seeing what didn't work and being able to go forward from there and just building. I mean, we've seen it and we are seeing it being done all around the world and all throughout history. We have everything that we need right at our disposal in order to do what we got to do and get to where we got to get to. I mean, me, myself, and I'm sure everybody else, I'm not cool with just being poor like this. I'm not cool with having, you know, these crackers that got this rope around my neck and they can snap my shit at any time that they please. I'm not cool with that. But there's not much that I can really do about it, to be honest. If they decide to hang me, there's not really much I can do. There's not really much that you as an individual can do. I'm sure you'd love to storm that prison and break me out. You see what happened to Conrad Jonathan. You know, I mean, once we start to think on this level, and, you know, I'm hoping that this is what we can actually start to do now. And like I say, we start to have this daily conversation, and that we start to have these weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annual meetings, and we have a structured way of handling these meetings. So that way, all the things that need to be addressed are addressed the same exact way that any other apparatus that has been successful at achieving their objectives have done, and with our own style, our own way that it needs to be done in. I mean, that's when we can really say, you know, free the land. You know, that's when we can really say power to the people. You know, that's when we can really say free brother, free sister so-and-so. That's when we can really say long live so-and-so. Will really be doing something about that. So, like I say, you know, I mean, from my perspective, and I don't know if anybody else feel the same, man, but not enough is being done. Not enough is being done. And it's not anybody's individual fault. It's nobody's individual fault. We all have to take collective responsibility. That's the only way, is if we all take collective responsibility and we all just put one foot in front of the other down this long journey that we all got to walk together.
You know, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. And again, you know, dialectics is just using dialectics. You know, like you said, there is not enough being done. Well, dialectically looking at it, there isn't enough being done because, again, there is so much to do. Yet there is a lot that is being done. But the level of work you had mentioned earlier is just such a grand scale of work. There are so many different areas, different fronts to struggle on, so many things that need attention. And it's always going to bring us back to this as organizers. We have to hold one another accountable. For instance, if I have a program on the ground, and I said, okay, well, we're going to go out and we're going to canvas the college universities this week. Our goal is to put out 200 pieces of literature, and we're going to, from that, we're going to make sure that we get at least 20 contacts that people unite with our objective, right? Well, after that, you're going to have to follow up with those 20 pieces and build and maintain relationships with them. You know, and it's going to be something to do after that and something to do after that. Each time you achieve a goal, from my experience in achieving a goal, when I say, okay, I did this, well, that victory, it opens up five more doors. Now there's five more things that need to be done. And then those five things get done, then there's 10 more things that need to be done. It's just so much to do. But what has to happen is that there has to be, while we're doing this work, accountability, because we're talking about organizing billions of African people throughout the world. We're talking about giving billions of African people throughout the world responsibilities to make contributions to our struggle. So you have to have a system, you have to have a structure in place where you can follow up with those individuals that have been brought on board. And it goes to creating some type of protocol, some type of governance over the work that has been done and following up with it. So that's our actual area of focus, because there's lots of plans of action. There's lots of people that are in motion doing a number of things. But where you make... Well, you may think that something isn't being done because you're not connected to that particular thing. Background, I don't know where it's coming from, but it's
Hello?
Hello? Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah.
I can hear.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just so much that it has to be done and accountability has to be had. So whatever plans of action that a group or individual organization put out, what they have to have attached to that is a structure to follow up with that work. And it has to be consistent. It has to have deadlines attached to it, dates and times, projected goals, whether it's a financial goal or whether it's a work requirement, whether it's study. If you're studying as a collective, that collective has to, those individuals in that collective need to report back what they have learned so their level of development can be measured. There's just so many things that have to be done. But for us at this juncture, because there is work being done, it's just we have to tighten up on our accountability of one another. There's just too much liberalism. There's too much liberalism that is present. So true organization requires accountability. And I think when we tighten up our structure in that sense, you will see a greater result. And it won't be like this little sporadic spurts of organizing here and there. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm definitely with that. I definitely support that 100%. And I would say the way to achieve that would actually be quite simple. For example, if we say this, we got a meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And whoever's there at this meeting at 9 o'clock, we there, we say, all right, hey, check this out, man. We got to bail out so-and-so. We got to get this much. How are we going to do it? Boom. The discussion begins right there. Everybody starts offering whatever contribution, you know, that they got. And I mean by contribution, whether it's financial or whether we're discussing another plan to be able to generate these funds. We should not leave that room. We should not leave that meeting until we have a set plan with timetables. Everybody has responsibilities and assignments, so on and so forth. And like you just said, everybody is going to be held accountable for their actions. You know, meaning that there's clear rewards and there's clear punishments. That's the only thing that people is going to deal with. I mean, if you talk to somebody that's poor, that's starving, and, you know, you put out some piece of food. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Conrad. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, you know, if somebody's poor and they're starving, you know, and we can't offer them a piece of food, I mean, it's going to be difficult to get them to do anything to contribute to something else, you know, and on top of that, I mean, it's going to be difficult to actually hold them accountable for doing so. You know, I mean, if we got a set plan, like I said, I got timetables and everybody has clear assignments and whatnot, and we say, okay, listen, man, you know, this is what you got to do. You say you're going to have it done in 3 days, right? And this is how you're going to have it done in 3 days, right? This is who you're doing it with, right? I bet. Check back in with so-and-so in 3 days. Let him know you got that. That way you can get out to him. He can do that, but he got to do it, you know, for his 3 days right there. That way when we meet the very next day, we got that whole thing. There's an actual set plan for achieving these objectives, and everything is clear. Like I said, we objectively analyze what needs to be done. Ain't nothing that we can't do, point blank, period. We simply objectively analyze what needs to be done. You know, whoever's best suited or best qualified to be able to do that, that's who get that job. That's who's held accountable for that. That's their responsibility. Now, by next week, ain't no, all right, just do whatever you can do and holler at me when you get it done. Ain't none of that. You know what I'm saying? We discuss as a group. Everybody knows clear responsibilities. This is what needs to happen for this 1 week in order to get these things done. I need to be done by next week. Or, you know, these groups of things that need to be done because this is a part of the 1 week plan because it's 1/4 of the whole monthly plan. You know, after we do that for this 1 week, now we can get on to the second part and the second week of the plan. Now we can get on to the third week, the third part of the plan. About the 4th week, we be all right. Everything will be done for this whole monthly plan that we just have, for this one thing that we got to achieve by this month. We got to deal with things like that. So it's like if we want to put, you know, all kind of things on our plate and all this other things that's coming in and we trying to adapt to everything else and we pretty much, you know, basically trying to grab onto whatever's coming to us, then that's what we're going to be doing. I mean, we're going to be running around chasing a whole bunch of things, and it's kind of like in the military, you call it spreading your lines thin. I mean, you can't, you know, spread your lines that thin to where you got everybody that's kind of like, you know, doing so much that nothing's really getting done. You don't really have a concentration of force behind anything to have any kind of, you know, tangible impact on anything. You know, you got to be able to concentrate those forces and aim them and direct them and channel them into that objective right there. Once that done, bow, now that stone is there and it's not going nowhere. That's a big brick that's in this whole foundation. It ain't moving nowhere. Now we can move on to the next brick. You know, if we follow that, like if we stay the course, like I said, you know, if we have this plan and it's not so much of this is coming up and that's coming up, I understand that we have to adapt, you know, to our new situation and to new circumstances. You know, I mean, you know, things are going to happen to where we may have to deviate from the original plan that we may have set in motion because that may be more beneficial. We're going to have to be flexible. We're going to have the ability to be flexible and be able to handle these kind of situations. I mean, shit happens. Simple and plain, you know, and we got to be able to deal with it. But the most important thing is, like I just said, you know, if we have, I'll use another example. We want to start a business. We say, all right, man, look, man, we trying to start a grocery store. You know, so-and-so right here, you know, knows all about different kind of organic fruits and all that. You're going to handle the organic fruit department. this person right here, man, hey, you know, he know a lot about, you know, different meats and whatever the case may be. You're going to handle that part right there. Now, how are you two going to work together? All right, so y'all going to do this like this and y'all going to do that like that. Okay, bet. All right, now we got that set of motion. Okay, so you're going to handle the management aspect because you're good with money. Okay, you're going to handle that right there. So now you're going to work with them, find out how much they need to get the food, find out how much you need to get the money. Work out everything that needs to be done in order to achieve that objective. Have these clear objectives, and everybody has these clear assignments. And like you just said, everybody is being held accountable for doing what they got to do. By the time we come to next week's meeting, you better know how many apples you need. You better know how many beef sticks and all that you need. You know, all of these things have to be done. If we approach things, you know, in that mind state, we become indestructible. You know, we're building a core that's so strong, you know, that's so forceful that nothing can stop it. I mean, you become an unstoppable, indestructible, unconquerable force. Nothing can stop that. You know, so I think that that's probably the solution. Matter of fact, I know that that's the solution to that problem right there, you know, is that we simply have to, be more structured and be more disciplined.
That's, you know, right. That's right. Structure and discipline. 100%.
That's it. And that got to be implemented. You know, once again, you know, after this conversation, you know, we can't just say, all right, I said it, you said it, we agree, high five, and then, you know, we keep it moving. You know, we got to really be able to sit down and say, okay, let's analyze this one thing right here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if something's wrong, you know, with your leg, you know what I'm saying, your leg broke, you don't just go and just say, all right, well, I'm going to just, you know, throw some water on it and see if that works. We're not going to deal with that like that. Our leg is broke. This shit hurt. Shit's real. I need to go to a doctor and see what needs to be done to fix this broken bone in my leg. I can't do what I want to do. It don't matter what my opinion is. It don't matter what I think about it. It don't matter what my big idea is. Only thing that matters is what needs to be done to fix this broken bone. That's the only thing that's going to stop this pain. That's the only thing that's going to set this leg right again, or at least the best that it can be.
Right.
And that's how we got to approach everything, concretely just like that. And to be honest, it can't even be nothing personal on an individual basis. I mean, if somebody, like if by next week this person got a lame-ass excuse, then he get dealt with properly. You know what I'm saying? If it's just, all right, bro, check it out, man. We ain't got time for your excuses, man. That's not a legitimate excuse. You going over here somewhere. You know, we're going to put you over here, man. You know, we think you better qualify over here. Or get from around us. You a liability. You ain't playing no games. You know, the leg is broke, and this shit hurt bad. We can't play no games with it. We simply have to do exactly what needs to be done. Nothing more, nothing less. Not personal against nobody as an individual. But these are extremely grave, serious situations that we're facing on a daily basis, and it's only getting worse. I mean, the state is on point. They doing a job. They hanging niggas daily. They They doing what they supposed to be doing. They doing a good job. You know what I'm saying? These multinational corporations all over the world, these oil companies and all that, they getting money. They doing what they supposed to do. They doing all right. Their objectives, they achieving them. Whatever needs to be done, blowing babies up, I mean, injecting all kinds of diseases in the populations, infecting the water supply, I mean, the scorched earth, burning all the food. I mean, they bomb the doctor place to kill all the doctors and sick people, whatever. Whatever they got to do, I mean, you know, they getting it done. Good or bad, say what we want. They getting it done. When are we going to take the same approach to do what needs to be done? And never mind everybody's personal opinion and what they think is right and morally good and so on and so forth. That's the only thing that's important to me. I mean, you know, at this point and throughout my life, I mean, you know, these people might blow my brains out any day. Who knows? You know, the only thing that matters is getting the things done that need to be done to the absolute best of our ability. So that way we can have something to hand over to our children. Because, I mean, I definitely don't want to be left, I mean, the way that I was born, I definitely don't want to leave mine like that, you know. Well, I mean, I pretty much can't give you nothing but all my suffering and pain. I mean,
right.
I'd rather give him a kingdom. You know, I'd rather give him a crown. I'd rather give him a throne. You know, I'd rather, you know, actually be able to give him something, you know, to where they can enjoy living life. You know, at the end of the day, I guess that's all that we all kind of really want to do, you know, is be in a situation, a position of where we can all enjoy life, and even better if we can all enjoy it together.
No, definitely. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, that's definitely what we want to do. Let me say that I know that we're 15 minutes in overtime. I don't know what the comrades want to do on money and Rafiki, what y'all want to do in the Jonah Cool. But I do want to tell y'all this, you know. I went to a convention with delegates from the African Union. They sent some representatives here to follow up on a summit that took place in 2012. And these advisors, their particular interest with coming here this time in 2015 was to come back and get a report from the Africans, from the diaspora, as to what their plans of actions are in relation to Pan-Africanism, the Africans at home, and the Africans abroad. The African Union sent advisors.
Pardon me, Kalaika, pardon me, one moment. It's just so very important that you say that, and I just want to throw this out there real quick, and I'll let you continue, right? But I definitely don't want to forget this. One of the most important elements of, you know, this whole thing that I formed here is pretty much, I guess you could say, you know, like the foreign ministry, you know, or the foreign office. And, you know, one of the most important things is our foreign allies. And something like that, once again, there must be an apparatus in place, and that apparatus would be this foreign ministry or foreign committee, foreign commission, whatever we, you know, decide to call it and what capacity that it comes in. But to be able to receive, now there should be a foreign policy memo going out to that UN delegation or going out to that African Union delegation that has given them exactly what they need.
Exactly, exactly. Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, this is of the highest importance. That is the most important. And the reason why I say that is because just like the elder spoke about earlier as far as resources, and Bomani spoke about economics, you know, and Rafiki was talking about, you know, how to build on these survival programs, so on and so forth, and how you were basically talking about how we need to galvanize the people, get the people on board, you know, recruiting and whatnot. Don't think for one second that every African nation, every Middle East and Third World oppressed nation does not want African poor and oppressed people in this country to be a unified and effective force that they can deal with at the table, the same way how they deal with each other and how they got to deal with their enemies. At the table, there should be a little, how they got them little signs, be at the UN and all that, that got the name of the state and whatnot, where everybody sitting there with microphones and everything. We need one of them. We need one of them delegates. A delegation need to be there with their sign and with their microphone, you know, taking their notes, you know, giving their report and gathering reports, building these alliances, and I mean tangible alliances. That's where all the resources come from right there. And when all that resource
right.
come in, that's when the people start to come. Now the people, now you can offer the people a job. Now you can say, hey,
right.
man, come, you get some money. You can open up this business.
Right.
This
let me tell y'all what happened.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, I went to this convention and they were following up from 2012. And what they wanted is for us, the Africans throughout the diaspora, to present plans of action that they could put in place and present to the heads of state that were representatives of the AU, with our deputy chair being Robert Mugabe. And so they had this three-day convention where people break off and they put together and they show what they've done in the 3 years. And say, this is what we want to take place. So in the 3 days pass, on the last day, they come back and they analyze what has been submitted from us the Africans throughout the diaspora. And because of such a short period of time, we need to be ready. We need to be clear. We need to be precise of what needs to happen. And everything that people had presented was just, it wasn't a plan of action. It was just what needs to happen. What needs to happen. And they was like, really? Come on. Are y'all serious? We already know what needs to happen. What are the plans? What is the structure? What is the infrastructure? You know, what? How much money does it take to make this happen, this and that? And what he had brought out was that since Mugabe has been there, a lot of people don't know, but when every time somebody flies to Africa, anybody, they don't care who you are, when you fly to Africa, there is a charge that's going to be on your airline ticket for about $2. Every $2 for everybody that flies in, that money goes to the African Union. They're like, come on, what y'all waiting for? We got money. We got dollars. We have this. We have that. What is your building? What are you presenting to us that we can put in place? We have money. I'm there. Trust me, I'm there. But work has to be done. Work has to be done where we know what we got to do. We know what we got to do. We just have to create and present the structure to do it, you see, and present it to other formations, other fronts. We got to do our research and understanding demographics throughout the world, different places. Look and inside of Africa, know what places are liberated, free zone, where we can go and build buildings. Go and build houses and homes, you know, present the plan of action to certain individuals that have certain things that are already in place. There's a lot of stuff that's already in place, but a lot of sitting down, like you were saying, Gaddafi, and talking through and applying the meat, has to be done. We need to do that. And workers are needed. We need workers. And going through the process, you know, we got to deal with political education, because even though I know what needs to be done, I know I can't do it by myself, just like you know, Gaddafi, just like everybody on the line knows. We have to impose political education and give people those things so they can become stronger human beings to follow out this work and become diplomats of the world. You know, we need representatives to go here, go there, and show that plan that you got on paper, Gaddafi. You know what I'm saying? So
like
we
that,
have to.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that you just said that, right? Everything that you just spoke on right there, right? I have something for that, all right? And I'm actually looking for it right now so I can bring it up just so I can touch on it a little more specifically. All right, for this foreign ministry, right, it starts off with the Office of Foreign Affairs after the foreign minister. And the Office of Foreign Affairs is breaking it down into global regions. So we got the Africa, the Middle East, Asia, Pacific Islands, North America, South Central, American Caribbean Islands, Eastern and Western Europe. So it's pretty much five different offices. And we have assistant foreign ministers that run each of these offices. Now, as far as the actual state, we have ambassadors or the chief of mission that will handle that actual state. Underneath the ambassador, the deputy chief of mission, there's a station or a section chief that will deal with pretty much specific governments or parties or organizations, whatever the case may be, from that nation. There's political, economic, administration, and public affairs counselors that are all under the station chief. There's agriculture, commerce, culture, science, health, and military attachés that will be attached to this embassy. There's Social Security, there's social secretaries that will deal with the external matters of the embassies, and the embassy secretary that will deal with the internal matters of the embassy. There's also a staff, you know, that needs to be a chief of protocol, and are they also the officers, you know, when we're out of the country. There's a chief of communications, and you know, how we'll communicate is different levels of security clearances and whatnot.
Right.
I mean, let's just put it like this. Everything that every other, whatever you want to call it, State Department, you know, Foreign Affairs Ministry, you know, has, this is what we need for the fact that that's the only thing that will be respected and accepted amongst other governments of the world. So we can't even go, or I'm not with just going as an organization that we represent, because that's not enough and we can do better. And that's not what's necessary. What's necessary is that we come as a political party that's representing the state, point blank, period. And this is right, according to international law. And we have all of the things. We have the exact structure that is necessary. We ain't got our own ideas with it. We ain't put our own names on it. None of that. We got exactly what we need. So now when we come to that board and we say, Ambassador such and such from so-and-so, this is the ambassador, right, you know, such from the Republic of New Africa. Now he knows, okay,
right.
All right, you know, they ain't talking about this is just some, you know, some guy that claims he knows something about the people and all. They not dealing with that. They don't want to hear that.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So, like, when we talk about these delegations, right, I've begun a process of, and I love that you stated about these liberated zones and how we got to know exactly what's going on in certain places. I've made a list of every first, second, and third world nation, and I've classified them, and I've given different classifications and categories according to their embassies. Their embassies will all have categories as far as their level of importance and relevance according to us. And
right,
I've begun a process of writing foreign policy memos to each one according to our specific relationship with each one. So if we're talking
right
about Zimbabwe here, when our ambassador to Zimbabwe, okay, goes to present his credentials, just as any other ambassador does to any other, you know, foreign head of state, okay, he's going to have a foreign policy memo with him that describes, you know, obviously exactly who we are and our relationship with Zimbabwe and the relationship that we desire from Zimbabwe. So that's where we start off at, between us and between Zimbabwe, and they'll continue on. And if we want to go
right
between here and Sweden, the same exact concept. We want to go between here and North Korea, the same exact concept. We want to go between here and between Cuba. It's the same exact thing. For every single first, second, and third world nation, like I said, I've begun a process of developing these foreign policy memos that describes in detail. You know, we don't have to get in vivid detail because, you know, they don't want to hear that shit. But we're going to get to the point and to what needs to be done and to what needs to be done first and foremost. And they will respect that.
That's right. That's right. I agree.
And it's beneficial. It's beneficial. It's mutually beneficial. They are going to respect it. They are going to recognize it. This is the way that you get nations that after a certain amount of time that they've been doing this work, they got to do that, you'll have other states that will officially recognize them as the independent state. They'll say, you want to know
right
what? You have done what you need to do enough in order, you know, to receive our recognition. You are a viable entity that we can deal with as another state, as another government. We can deal with you like that. Now we can import and export en masse. We can trade en masse. You know, we can have a delegation in your liberated zone or in your territory or whatever it is, and, you know, we can conduct our business that way. These are the things that must be done, and that even ties into jobs and things of that nature. You know, why is it that you go to work every day, I go to work every day, everybody on this phone right now going to work every day, and ain't none of us making shit, can none of us barely make it, you know, when instead you need to be, you know, the CEO of some kind of import-export company that's importing the best bananas in the world from Brazil by the ton.
Right.
Making millions of dollars.
Right.
You know, and, you know, not just for yourself, but for the people. Because obviously our, you know, economy is completely different from, you know, Western capitalist economies. You know,
right,
our socialism is unique. You know, so, you know, I mean, that right there, right, is a tangible place to actually start from. You know, when you talk about, because I also have a foreign policy written specifically for the UN and for the AU as well. So,
that's right.
You know,
that's
like
right.
I said, you know, you know, so,
that's right.
So it's like once I get, yeah, you know, once I get that thing, you know, you add on to it, you take away whatever you want to do with it. You know, we talk about it until we come to an agreement as far as, all right, here's how we're going to move forward. you know? And then now we choose, all right, who's going to be this ambassador here? Who's going to be a part of the delegation, you know, that we send, you know, to the AU? That's when they're going to look and they're going to say, all right, they serious and they ready. Like, they ready to go. You know, they really about their business. You know, they can correct.
That's right.
You know?
And see, you know, Gaddafi, man, you know, this is what it is. I'm telling you, man, I mean, it's sincerely from with all my heart, everything, that this is where it is. And the work, like, I know you've been working. You know what I'm saying? I know you know that I've been working. I know my other comrades been working, whether they near or far, here or there. You know, a Jonaku. You know what I'm saying? We are confident in one another that we know, well, I may not talk to this individual, but I know it's work being done over here and over there. You know what I'm saying? And things like that. You know, in great capacity. And now it's time to really focus on our resources, right? And I say focus on our resources because we need money. You hear me? We need money. Hold on. I have a lot of, it seems like a lot of background. I don't know where it's coming from.
I know. I can hear it too.
Yeah, hold on one second. In this international, we have to, I'm talking about the money. Okay, so we got these plans of actions, right? And we have to be able to have resources. So there's like different programs that we've been working on in George Jackson University that will create funds in a large capacity, a very, very large capacity. And at this juncture, what we need to do is be able to move around quickly. Like, I need to get to you. I need to get to a Jonaku. Jonaku needs to get to me. We need to get to Bomani. Bomani needs to get here. Or anybody who's able to be a representative a certain level, right? So we know that there are African people all throughout the world. Like, I met the mayor of this city called Choco, Colombia. And in Colombia, he said that it's pretty much like 90% populated by African people. It's Africa. It's just a little Africa, right? And he's saying that he's calling on his African brothers and sisters throughout the world to work with him to improve the conditions there in Colombia and what's happening in Colombia, what is poverty, education, and all of those things. He said, hey, I will host you. We send people here to work with us. Help us develop the land. Guess what? We need money to do that. We need not only the money, but we need well-developed, trained individuals that can carry out that work. You understand?
Absolutely.
We have to train people to do this work because there's so much, just like everything that you laid out, which I have to get to you. We must sit together for 10, 15, 20 hours at a time. My brother's chairman, Eric Caffre, is on the line. We do it all the time. We sit together sometimes for 10 hours at a time. And just build, you know what I'm saying? Maybe take a lunch break or whatever. But we discuss, you know, the methods and plans of actions and lay out foundations of what's to be done. But just me, you, and chairman, and but money is not enough. So we need military front. We must go and seek out military fronts that can help us develop and train ourselves. We need political education institutions that can develop the ideas of individuals that can carry out this work. So, yeah, I'm dying to see what you have set forth because it's like it's something that I don't have to do. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't have to do that work. So that's great to hear. But I know that, you know, it's getting late. I got to catch a plane in the morning. And I mean, I know we should wrap up, But I just say to you, and that I'm glad that you are. I don't call this place home. Africa is my home, but I'm glad that you're out. And I wish to see you soon. And I think that we should make arrangements to sit down in person and discuss these matters. So that means that, you know, we have to come up with the means to do that. And I will be working towards that. I will be working towards that goal, but we can discuss it further. And the same thing with you, Ajanaku, and Bo Money and all my comrades. We have to create a place. We have to create a place and an environment of intense togetherness where we are at the table, you know, hours and on end, you know, doing this. So.
Every single season we should be meeting.
Yes.
One way or another. I mean, any
right.
number to bus ticket. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we ain't that far away. The world's only so big. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
every
right.
season.
Mm-hmm.
Summer, spring, winter, and fall, whatever the location may be, every 90 days, ain't no reason why we can't get a $100, $200 bus ticket round trip. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, we can get one hotel room and all sleep on the floor. It don't matter. You know what I'm saying? If we go to, you know, one comrade's hometown, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if he got a spot. If she got a spot. I mean, you know, all those things are, you know, really unimportant to us needing to be in the same location at the same time and, you know, having a 3-4-5-day coverage. You know, I actually came up with something else in regards to that as well. You get onto this whole thing, aside from the party and aside from the state, and it's similar to the Council on Foreign Relations. And we can simply call ours, you know, maybe the Council on International Relations because that's just what it is, you know. But to where it's, you can say the same thing as exactly what the Council on Foreign Relations does. You know, they're discussing international affairs and how it affects their nation of people and who it represents. And there's different nationalities of people that are part of this Council on Foreign Relations. I mean, there's different offices on different continents in different countries. You know, when everybody represents, you know where they come from and whatnot, and they work together. You know, and it's a separate entity that's not exactly doing the work. That's the reason why I made it separate, for the fact that it's not, I want to say it's not an executive organization to where it's actually in the field and is doing the work. Is more of a study and analyzing and discussing strictly. You know what I'm saying? So they can simply focus on that. You know, while everybody's out in the field and everybody's doing all of the work, we also have others, you know, that are also behind the scenes, the same exact way that they do. Once again, these are things that these people do that work. These are principles that they apply that work, that, you know, assist them to achieve their objectives, you know. So we put something like that together, and like I say, you know, we got these people that are separate. You know, it may be a collection of the elders and a collection of, you know, certain experts, you know, of people that are not or that cannot be involved into the day-to-day activities and responsibilities of being a part of one formation or another, but they can also assist the people in that capacity, you know, of just being behind the scenes and just analyzing and just discussing and just studying, you know, and then, you know, being able to disseminate this information, you know, to whatever formation, you know, that they happen to be, you know, have certain relations with and whatnot. So, I mean, that's also, you know, extremely imperative and, you know, a part of this whole document and everything. You know, I'm actually thinking about, I mean, it's kind of so much. I'm actually thinking about just putting it into, you know, a small book, you know, to be honest. You know, I'm going to see what y'all think about it, you know, to be honest. You know, I'm going to see what y'all think about it. And then, you know, I'll take that idea. I'll either scratch it or, you know, we'll build on one of the two.
I look forward to that, and I mean it. I really look forward to it because I'm telling you, if I couldn't really tell you on this amount of time, even though we've been on the phone for 2.5 hours, you know, I couldn't even tell you everything that I plan on doing and how y'all are integral parts of it. But from hearing everything that you just said, is already, you know, something that is on the plate. And it seems as though I have such great relief in this moment. I have great relief by hearing what you have said, because it is so much has been done. You've done a lot, and it is great relief, because I ain't got to do with something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I can dig it.
It's already done, you know, so... Man, I just can't wait to. I'm going to Dallas, and then I'm gonna come back here to Virginia, and then we can just get the wheels in motion. So yeah, you'll definitely be hearing from me on a regular basis in regards to it, and we'll follow up on this conversation, you know, in great detail. So I salute you. I always have. You know, and I always will. I really appreciate my comrades and their commitment, you know, in whatever capacity that they have to give, I appreciate it. And I think that we are the forces that keep each other strong and keep each other resilient and keep each other thinking about what to do next and how to do it next. And I think that if I didn't have the comrades that I had, you know, I wouldn't be able to realize some of the things that are in my head, you know, without the existence of the reality of what's around me, you know? So I'm extremely grateful for the work that you have put in, and I don't take it lightly, and I want to examine it, and I want to be an integral part in bringing it into existence. So, Bo Money, you there?
Bomani.
I know we still have some callers on the line. What about Jonaku? Are you still there? Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like I hear somebody trying to say something.
Yeah, I opened up the phone lines. Anybody, phone lines, all the phone lines are open. Anybody have anything that they want to say on George Jackson University Radio? All the phone lines are open. All the phone lines are open. Does anybody want to contribute to George Jackson Radio? Have anything that they want to say before we conclude? Okay.
Somebody trying to come through.
It's probably just a background noise. But what I'm gonna do, Gaddafi, is we're gonna close out. You know, I'm just gonna let people know that they can find us on our website, www.georgejacksonuniversity.com. Learn how you can get more involved in the work that we're doing. My phone number is 214-861-8068, and that's my phone number and all things related to George Jackson University. Contact information, 214-861-8068. Our website, our email is georgejacksonuniversity@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. Gaddafi, you want to say anything before we close out?
I think, you know, I said everything that needs to be said for now, you know, and pretty much, you know, until next week, you know, but just everybody stay tuned. You know, that's pretty much that. You know, everybody just stay tuned, you know, get in contact with anybody and everybody through the website that Kalika just gave. You know, my Facebook is just Comrade Gaddafi. And
you know, that's pretty much that right there, you know, and we'll take it, we'll continue to struggle. And until next week, you know, God willing, we all still here in the same capacity.
So you know, in 2 more weeks will be our 1 year anniversary, right?
Oh, it feel like we just started 2 weeks ago. I remember talking to you like we just started 2 weeks ago.
And I'm so proud because, like, out of that whole year, we had consecutive shows. Out of the whole year, we probably only missed one broadcast. And that was a total accident, you know. But I'm very proud to say that we've been consistent with our broadcast. You know, Qaddafi, you can always go and listen to the archives. If you go onto the Blog Talk Radio site and put in George Jackson Radio, you can listen to every last episode that we ever had. So, you know, when you need to do that. And then, you know, I got to get up with you. You know, I didn't have the capacity to do the concerts and stuff, right? So, you know, the music situation is your field. So I'm going to need for you to get back on that, the music thing with the concerts and stuff. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, I just spoke to about 2 days ago, I just spoke to J.D. Kiss and his manager, and we got some events that they're going to be coming out here with soon, and a whole gang of other people, too, you know, that I done spoke to. I just spoke to them, though. I just spoke to them. I think it was either yesterday or the day before, and, spoke to them for the first time in quite some time, and, you know, they're supposed to be coming out here, and, you know, we pretty much just plan on building on, you know, this past year and our plans for the future and all that, you know, once you get out here. You know, he's going to give me a call and let me know. So, yeah, you know, that'll be the beginning of getting that restarted right there.
Right. Yeah, so I'm going to, you know, put that in your hands and you, however you see fit, you know, move on that. And this is a lot of other things that I had to visit that I have questions about that's in your letters and stuff. So, you know, we definitely have to wrap and follow through with some of those things, you know, especially like with Jaleel and things like that. So until we meet again.
True indeed. All right. Hey, listen, love you forever, sis. All right. Make sure you have a safe flight in the morning. All right. And, you know, stay in touch. Let me know you're okay. Let me know everything's all right. All right. And, you know, let's pretty much, you know, plan throughout the week for the next show.
Okay, we'll do. Forward, comrade.
All right, Moja.